saying here that no, that is not so. That in all things, through all things, we should give thanks to God. So once again, I'll read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And we'll just go slowly because I believe that Paul is showing us something here that we often miss. So he says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Paul just described what I would call a threefold pie. Paul says, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Now, that presents a problem because Thanksgiving seems easy. Like, it just seems like, okay, God, I thank you for what you've given me, for my family, for the things you've blessed me with. Amen. But what Paul is saying here is that, right, and if you just read in between the lines, many believers don't have a prayer life. And when we do pray, it's for stuff. It's for things. In the same vein, many believers don't have a Thanksgiving life. Because when we do give thanks, it's for stuff. It's for things. So Paul is saying here that there is a connection between prayer and Thanksgiving. There is something there that is tied from Thanksgiving and things. Because deep down, we all feel like the more stuff we have, the more thankful we will be. But Paul wrote this thing in every single letter because he knew that human beings are wired to always tie Thanksgiving to the things that they have. So Paul is attempting to break that cord and say our Thanksgiving should not be conditional. It shouldn't be based on the stuff that we have. And deep down, we all know that things and stuff can be deceiving. Because we've seen very wealthy people who are not happy. Very rich, famous people who should be happy, but they're not. And we've seen someone who doesn't have quite as much be way more joyful and way more in love with Christ. So stuff and Thanksgiving have nothing to do with each other. But deep down, we all tend to make that connection. So this morning, I want to talk about true Thanksgiving. And to do so, I want to look at the creation or the creature that has the most stuff. And you find this funny, but turn me to the book of Ezekiel 28, verse 13. And we're going to look at a creation that was made that looks better, that is bigger, stronger, faster, more wise, more beautiful than any creation that has ever walked this earth, world, planet, anything. And you probably know him as the devil. But before he fell, his name was what? Lucifer. And Lucifer was made in perfection. The scripture says this, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipe was prepared for you on the day that you were created. So Lucifer, which we know as the devil, he was made in the perfect location. He was made in the presence of God. He was one of the archangels that walked to and fro in the presence of God. He was the most beautiful creature ever made, covered with every precious stone. Everything that human beings kill themselves for, he had on him. He was built in perfection. He had perfect skills, right? It says that the workmanship of his tambourines and pipes, he was a worshiper. He sang songs in the presence of God. So he was everything that we would all like to be. Because most of us, most of our wish list has to do with, if I could just go from here to there, I'll be good. If I can just kind of tweak how I look and just look a little bit more presentable, I'll be good. If I can just get better skills and be better at my job and just have a better job, I'll be more thankful. I'll be good. But the scripture also says this in verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covered the ark. And it says, indeed, I set you so that you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So Lucifer was also in ministry. Lucifer also ministered to God. And most of us think that if I can just step into what God has for me and be in ministry, I'll be more thankful. If I can just find my calling and what God wants me to be, I'll be more thankful. But Lucifer had everything. Perfect location. Looked good. Perfect skills. Ministry. No creation that has ever been created had more stuff going for them than him. He was the one. But verse 15 says this, you were perfect in your ways from the days that you were created till iniquity was found in you. So Lucifer had everything on the surface, all the things, all the stuff that the creatures of this earth crave and want and kill for. But something was found in him, and that thing is called iniquity. That thing that was found in him was pride. See, though he had all the things, all the attributes that we want, he saw something that he didn't have. And he said, oh, I will ascend to that throne of God. I will be like God. I will sit on that throne. So there was something in him that he was longing for that was not in the will of God for his life. And many of us in here, I've been like that, where we think that, oh, if I just get this next thing, I'll be satisfied. If I just get this next job, this next big thing, this next new phone, which I'm trying to get, I'll be satisfied. Like, we all think that, hey, if I can just step into something else, something that I don't have right now, then I'll truly give God thanks. And, you know, God will just have all my heart and all that. But we see here that there was a creature made in perfection, perfect himself, perfect worship, perfect everything. But there was something found in him. There was something that wasn't right in him. And that shows you this, that our thanksgiving is not tied to stuff. But now, do you get why they call Satan the accuser of the brethren? Because his job and what he does is he goes before God and does the very same thing, saying, God, just like Job, hey, God, Job only worships it because he has stuff. Job is only doing that because he has things. Ike is only going to praise you because you blessed him with a wife and kids and all these things. Take away those things and watch. Ike won't praise you no more. Touch those things and watch. He'll curse you. Touch those things and trust me, his thanksgiving will stop. This is the very battle. This is what the devil does. That's why he's called your adversary. He is a lawyer by trade. He goes to God and says, hey, look at her. Trust me, if you touch her family, her thanksgiving will cease. She will stop giving praise to you. And this is this is what I would call the great argument in heaven. Angels watch down and see, man, are these creatures really going to not praise him, or are they going to praise him because they have stuff? Like, they are watching and looking and seeing, is our thanksgiving tied to the things that we have? Now, to be fair, this is why Jesus says in John 14, verse 30, that the ruler of this world is coming, meaning the devil, and he has nothing in me. He has nothing, not on me, in me. See, you can have all the physical things that man wants, but as we know, God weighs the heart. God weighs that thing in us that we can't see. And the devil's fall was what was in him. And Jesus pleased the Father because what was in him. So this is the very cosmic war that we see human beings right in the middle. And one side is saying, no, what is in them is what was in me. Therefore, God, you cannot bless them. Therefore, God, you cannot save them. And Jesus is saying, no, but I've put what? My spirit in them. So this is the very cosmic war that we see going on. And this is the battle that we are in daily. It's not about what we have, but it's what is in you and what is outflowing from you. When you go through trials, when you are struggling, when you don't really know how God is going to do it, what is going to come out of you? Amen? Now, to be fair, Satan does have a point. As David said, we were born in iniquity. We were formed in the very thing that was found in him. So Satan does have a point. But like any good debate show, both sides have points, right? So he has a point, but Jesus also has a point. But turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. So once again, Paul said this over and over again to several different churches. Thanksgiving and stuff are not to go together. Your thanksgiving should be for all things, in all things, no matter what. But in verse 18, Paul gives us a clue on how this should work. And verse 18 says this, "And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." So Paul is telling us that being filled with the Spirit, that is how thanksgiving should flow. Being filled with the Spirit is true thanksgiving, because from your spirit comes the overflow. And the outpouring of a spirit-filled life is thanksgiving. The outpouring of a spirit-filled life is someone who prays. The outpouring of a spirit-filled life is someone who rejoices in all circumstances. Not just the good ones, not just the bad ones, not just because God did something, but just because he is. Just because you have his presence in you, because you have his spirit in you. And everybody here has probably seen a drunken person or been drunk. Most of us. So, when you are drunk, it doesn't matter where you're at. Like, drunk people have a pattern that is just them. They can be at home, they can be at a party, they can be out. Drunk people do the same things because it doesn't matter what's around them, it's what's coming out of them, right? What's coming out of them is dictating how they move, how they act. And that's what Paul is saying here, that look, thanksgiving is not just what you do, but it's something that comes out of you. So as you're filled, as you read the word, as you study, as you pray, as you fast, something begins to come out of you when you go through trials, when you go through things that you did not know you could handle. And just like some of us in here who have been drunk, you've probably gotten drunk and did something that you did not know that you could do. That is what Paul is saying here, that thanksgiving is like that. It's that you don't sit back and say, oh, I'm going to be thankful like this. But when you go through a trial, you start to even shock yourself how well you're going through that trial, because something else is coming out of you. God's spirit is coming out of you. You are beginning to have traits and things that were not there. And you know that that's not you. And look, man, I've been through some things where I'm like, God, I know this is not me, because me 5 years ago, I would have done something else. And that is what being filled with the Spirit is that as we go through trials, something in us begins to rise up and begin to fill our lives, just like being drunk in the flesh. So I want to explain the scripture we just read once again, but I'm going to use a personal trial that I went through. So like I said, 2 weeks ago, I went through a very random trial. I mean, very, very, very random. Media, can you show the first picture, please? So this is my face about 2 weeks ago, swollen. And I did not know what the deal was. So 2 weeks ago, probably last Sunday, my wife is like, hey, I think you're gaining weight. And I'm like, no, I work out now. Like, don't tell me that, right? And I'm like, no, like, I'm in the gym. Like, I'm not gaining weight. But she thought I was gaining weight for whatever reason. And Monday came, and my face kept getting bigger. And I'm like, okay, think I need to go to the doctor. But then again, ask my wife, and she'll tell you I'm a very hyper faith, God can do anything guy. So why go to a doctor? Just trust God, and, you know, things will be fine. So I did that. And by Tuesday afternoon, this was my face. And for 2 days, I've been telling my wife that, hey, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be okay. But then my face kept on getting bigger. So I'm saying, hey, God got it. But my face is not matching what I'm saying. And, you know, just having kids and having my daughter who is 5, right? She thinks I'm like Superman. Like I play with her all day long, you know, just working from home, we play all day long. But I could see in her eyes, because she's like, my daddy can't play right now. Like, he's in pain. Like, he cannot do anything right now. And all those things just begin to weigh on you, because I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what is going on. I think I know what is going on, but I'm not sure what's going on, because I've never seen anybody's face get this big so fast. So Tuesday afternoon comes around, and I go to my favorite gas station. And this is a place that, like, knows me. And I'm a very confident guy, like, maybe too confident. But for the first time, I'm walking in this gas station, and my head is down. Like, I am embarrassed, because my face is not my face. You know, like, I've lived, 35 years, and I know this face, and that's not me. So my head is down, and as I put my head down, I heard a voice say, but your beauty comes from me. And I mean, it wrecked me, but it gave me this spark, this life. My face wasn't fixed, but I heard his voice saying, but your beauty comes from me. And I was like, okay, God, cool. Like, if this is my face, if they can't figure out what is wrong, so be it. So I left the gas station with a song in my spirit. And my wife knows me, like, if we are going through any arguments or if the day is hard, I just hum. I, like, sing. I hum. And she knows that if I'm humming, something is brewing. So I left the gas station with a song in my spirit, just praising God for simply just being with me. Because sometimes we are waiting for the thing to be fixed to praise God. But if he's in a fire with you, praise him right there. Don't wait till it looks like this. Just praise him right there. If he's in the fire with you and his presence is with you, that's enough. Whether or not he fixes it, he's with you. So later that evening, I still came to prayer. I'll say that again. I still came to prayer. I did not stay at home. I'm not saying don't stay at home and rest, but I'm saying, hey, just because you're suffering, press into God. Like, press in. You'll be surprised what he does when you just press in past your trials. So I still came to prayer, and lo and behold, me and Brother Robin were in the lobby. And of course, he's coughing, going through his own trial. My face is all big. I'm going through my own trial. And we're just sitting there just talking about how good God is. Both sick, boat, struggling, face big. It's like, yeah, man, God's so good. Like, I mean, like we were just encouraging each other in the Lord, because God has said, son, your beauty comes from me. Therefore, I can actually hold my head high. In fact, I remember going over to the other side and seeing the ladies there while they were doing the food pantry stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, guys, you know, this is my face and it's all big. I'm like, look, man, like, look, it is what it is. Like, God is with me. So why would I be downcast? Why would I be sad? He's with me. He's spoken to me. My beauty comes from him. Like, there's a me that you guys have yet to see. That's who he's saying, son, your beauty comes from me, not what is going on with your face. And this is true Thanksgiving. Once again, I wasn't going to preach this message, but it truly hit me. When things are stripped away and the devil is trying to prove a point that Ike will only praise you because things are well for him, I'm like, no, God, you've been too good to me. You've been too wonderful. And even if you do nothing else for me, you are with me in this trial. Therefore, I'll praise you. Therefore, that spirit man in me begins to grow and sing and give him thanks. And of course, my face was still messed up. Tuesday evening, still went to the ER. Face swollen. They could not figure out what was wrong. And Wednesday, can you show the second one, please? Face got worse. The eyes about to shut. But yet, God said, I'm with you. God said that my beauty comes from him. And I know that just seems so small, but when you're used to looking a certain way and you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't know who that is, it can be a little bit like, all right, God, like, you got to do something fast. But as you can see, I'm still smiling. My wife is, you know, yeah, cracking jokes. And it's like, look, man, it is what it is. This is my trial, and I will walk through it with a smile on my face. Because in the midst of my trial, I had a friend that was with me in the fire. Because sometimes we can go through trials, and yes, people will wish you well and pray for you and say, hey, brother, I'm with you. But deep down, you know it's just you and him. Like, you know it's just you, but if you're wise, it's just you and him. And I had a friend that was with me in the fire. So as things got worse, that spirit man in me got louder and said, God, I'm going to keep on praising you. I don't get why this is happening to me, but I will keep on blessing your name. So I say all that to say this, guys. Saints, we are not like the world. Their Thanksgiving is really for a season. Oh, this is the Thanksgiving season. This is the holiday season. This is the holiday spirit. But our Thanksgiving is a place that we can live in, that we can enter in as we want to. Our Thanksgiving is truly a place in Christ Jesus that we can go in any trial, at any time, knowing that he is faithful. So because, you know, like that song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know, oh, he holds my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving is truly a place that we can go. We don't have to wait till this time of the year to be thankful. We can always be thankful because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling spirit of Christ in us. We can always enter in, no matter what. No matter what we are going through, we can come in boldly, knowing that he's good. Knowing that if he gave his son, if he spared not his son, what more won't he do for you? And just in case you do somehow die, you step into heaven and you see him. What more is there to life? So finally, I'll say this. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do is give God thanks while in the storm. Don't wait till the storm is done. If he's with you in the fire, start praising him then. Start praising him now. And just watch what he will do. Because he might not change what you're going through, but he will change you. He will change you. And trust me, you will see him in a way that you have never seen him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just take a moment and just thank him. Just thank him for who he is. Not for what he's done. Not for what you want him to do. Not for what you think he should do. Not for the things that you want, but just for who he is. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because you are present. We thank you because you are with us, Father, in all trials, in all things. We thank you because you have said that no one can snatch us or take us away from your hands. So, Father, our prayer this morning is simple. Just like David said, take not your spirit from me. Lord God, we give you thanksgiving this morning, not because of stuff, but because of you, but because we are in you, because we are in Christ, because our life, because our being is hidden in Christ, and no devil, no trial, no thing that we're going through can touch that life that you've purchased for us with your blood, by your son. So Jesus, we say thank you for your blood. We say thank you for your sacrifice. We say thank you because we are in you, because no matter what, we have a guarantee. We have a guarantee. The blood of Christ that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Christ that is sure that we can place our life on, knowing that it will always come through. So, Father, this morning, this week, Father, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, let our Thanksgiving not be tied to stuff, but let our Thanksgiving be tied to you, the one true one, the one that does not change, the one that is constant, the one that is faithful, the one that is mighty, the one that doesn't need us but loves us. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I can feel the Spirit of God right here. And it's so precious, because we do have a lot to be thankful for. As I was looking at the pictures of Ike, I said, you know what? Let's all clap and give God glory for working a miracle for Brother Ike. So let's take that time, because we are supposed to praise with one another. We are supposed to rejoice with one another when we see the Lord move in each other's lives. And this word is so on time. A couple months ago, I woke up and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, tell your wife, y'all just need to be thankful. That's the word, thankful. And we did it, and we saw the Lord move through situations we needed him to move in. Amen. We want to thank those that have joined us by webcast. Please join us in our 11 o'clock service as well. We do have a few announcements. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. And we do thank you for your support as well, too. Even those that join us by webcast and support by online ministry, thank you so much. We also want to give thanks to everybody that gave to the Pakistan Solar Project. It is complete, so we don't need any more funds raised for that. Amen. This morning, if you do need a Thanksgiving basket, please see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia in the 11 o'clock service. This will be the last day we're doing Thanksgiving baskets. And last but not least, the Romans commentary is available. It's finally finished. It is $15. If you'd like to pick one up to help you in your study of Romans, please do so. Let's stand and let's be dismissed. Took a little note on this one. What I say unto one, I say unto all. pray fervently and truly be thankful in all things. Amen. You're dismissed.